I said, if you've ever heard the words, you have cancer, please stand up. Then I said, if anybody you know or love has heard the words, you have cancer, would you stand up? And then I said, if you know anybody who's heard the words, you have cancer, please stand up. By the time I was done, the whole room was standing. And there was proof. We have cancer. We are all touched by this.
Welcome to the Resilient People Podcast. My name is Janet Finacki. I speak with extraordinary, regular people from around the world who are admired for their resilience. They've overcome major challenges in their lives and created something to help others be resilient too. Lee Silverstein has battled 3 different cancers over his 60-year life. He was diagnosed with kidney cancer as a child. Then in 2011, 4 months after he met his wife, Linda, he was told that he had stage 2 colon cancer. A year and a half later, it spread to his liver and is now stage 4. But despite all this bad news, Lee and his wife, Linda, say that these have been the best years of their lives.
So, Lee, you've been through a lifetime of cancer treatments, but you've maintained an amazingly optimistic and healthy mindset. What's your secret?
You know, I've always been the more of the half glass full kind of person. It's just, I think, how I've been wired. We were at my father's 80th birthday. We were at my sister's lake house up in Connecticut. And he always goes on this tirade at birthdays. I don't understand why people complain about their age. This is the goal, to have as many birthdays as possible. And I was like, Dad, you're absolutely right. And I kept thinking about that. And I came up with this acronym using the word age. And A stands for attitude. And it's our attitude has really helped us get through this. The G is gratitude. You know, just taking a moment and being thankful for all that we have and all that we've been blessed with. And the E, totally unrelated to the other two, is exercise. Throughout my treatments, you know, before the pandemic and the quarantine, I would go to the gym before going to work every morning. Now I've had to adopt that to figuring it out how to do it at home. But now I go on either a power walk or I find other ways to work out at home every morning before work. Not at almost 60 years old that I'm trying to win any bodybuilding competitions, but more for the mental side. There's this feeling like if I'm sweating and I'm exercising, I can't possibly be sick. Sick people don't sweat. Sick people don't get their heart rate up. So it's always been more about the mental side of it for me, but age, attitude, gratitude, and exercise.
You clearly get your good attitude from your dad, though.
Yeah, but, you know, and even more so, Linda and I found each other this past December. Was our seven-year anniversary, and it's been absolutely amazing. And it's what has helped me get through all of this.
Linda, what was it like for you when you and Lee were dating to get the diagnosis?
It was devastating. And I was like, I can't do this. No, I'm not going to do this. I already had done it once before with my first husband. Oh. And we only had 3 weeks to prepare for his demise or whatever. I started dating Lee, and then, you know, it was like, oh, okay, God has blessed me twice with 2 wonderful people in my life. I don't know how to put in words except that I was completely out of it, just totally devastated. And I remember saying, I can't do this. I called my son and I can't do this. He says, Mom, what are you talking about? I can't do this. Lee has cancer. You know, I just can't do it. But you know what? God, he has a plan. And this was our plan, you know, to get through this and to love each other and to deal with whatever is coming our way. And I think that we've done a very good job of it.
Lee, the fact that you're continuing with treatments, how are you doing now?
You know, I'm doing really well. I had recurrence, a again first of the year, and the same thing happened first of last year. 3 months in, it was time for my first scan, and the scan was clean. No visible evidence of disease. So I talked to my oncologist, and I said, so what do you think? What, you know, what's the plan? You know, I'm a very linear, logical person. And what was unsettling to me this year was this was the first time that there wasn't like a plan. Every other diagnosis or recurrence, I should say, has been, all right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to do X number of treatments. Then we're going to do a scan. And assuming the scan is good, then we're going to do an ablation. Or we're going to do a surgery. So a specific plan. This year, I went back on chemo and was like, all right, we're going to go back on chemo. And I'm like waiting for the rest, right? And how many, when, you know, and it was like nothing. So when we had the first scan, the scan was good. I said, all right, so what's our plan? And my oncologist and I talked about it. He said, I would be comfortable putting you on what we call maintenance chemo. I was at the time getting a combination of 3 drugs, one delivered by a pump that I would go home with for 46 hours, and the other 2 intravenously. And he said, let's pull out the 1 drug. It's the drug that causes the most side effects. And let's just go with this quick drip and your pump. And let's do that. And I was thrilled, you know, to try it and a little nervous because I was like, all right, are we taking a risk here? The best thing was, the infusion was cut from 2.5 hours time to 15 minutes and barely any side effects. Last week, the time we're recording this, was time for my next scan. Really, and I've done a really good job, and you've probably heard the term, Janet, scanxiety, where people, mm-hmm. you know, 2-3 weeks out start freaking out that they have a scan.
Oh, yeah.
And that used to be me, but I realized, it's like, why am I torturing myself about something that torturing myself is going to change the results? So really, the only time I get any anxiety is sitting in the exam room waiting for the door to open and the doctor to walk in with the results.
Yeah.
You know, I don't lose sleep the night before or worry, that kind of thing. But this was a big deal because we made the decision to pull back on chemo. And I was like, oh, you know, what if this was the wrong choice? And we got the good news last week that we had another clean scan. And as far as Linda and I were talking about, it's like, you remember if I've ever had 2 back-to-back clean scans? And we're both looking at each other going, not that I can remember. So we're grateful. Obviously, we're very grateful.
Yeah, very grateful. But to back up to last year, we had done everything that the doctor has said to do, the surgery, take out, you know, the tip of the lung and all this. And come February, March of last year, I'm like sitting in front of the liquor store getting ready to buy the bottle of champagne. That we just knew that it was going to be, and the doctor walks in. Lee says, well, I hope you have some good news for me. And he says, unfortunately, it was like, I could not stop crying. Of course, Lee held it together until he got home, and then we cried again, you know. And it was like, we had done everything that they had said for us to do.
And so, had said, hey, get through this surgery, this procedure, and you should be, and you'll be good to go. Yep. So when it came time to go back to my oncologist, having spent a year dealing with surgeries,
false hope.
We were like, all right, he said we should be good to go. And he walks in and he says, you've got metastases on your liver. It was like, liver? You haven't mentioned my liver in 6 years.
Right.
What are you talking about? So what has changed for us as a result of this, I'm sure you're familiar, you know, a lot of these cancer centers have, you know, ring the bell when the treatment's done. And family would call and say, oh, I bet you're celebrating your good news. And we're not celebrating. Are we grateful? Absolutely. We are 100% grateful for these great scans. But we also know over 9 years, you know, we hope there's lots more good scans to come, but we know our history, right? So we choose to be grateful and appreciative to good news, but are we going out and buying bottles of champagne and ringing bells?
No.
I mean, I think the one thing that people who aren't familiar with, you know, those of us that have been through the cancer experience, they don't realize what a roller coaster ride can be. And you know better than many people because of the long term that you've been dealing with cancer.
you live scan to scan, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not touched by cancer, you have no concept of what that's like. And that's not saying anything negative about other people. You don't know what it's like. Even Linda and I, Linda will say, you don't know what it's like to be a caregiver. And my initial reaction was to be defensive. I was like, oh, wait, hold on. You know what? I don't know what it's like to be a caregiver. I've never been a caregiver. She doesn't know what it's like to be a patient, right? Mm. Not that one is better. It's not a contest. You know, unless you're in the shoes of a caregiver, you know, I remember specifically, she said, you don't know what it's like to see you being wheeled away to surgery. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't. I don't know what that's like. Nor does she know what it's like to sit there with the needle in my chest, you know, getting the chemotherapy. So you're absolutely right. You know, people, you know, unless you're in it, you don't know.
I first met Lee when he asked me to be a guest on his podcast, We Have Cancer. At the time, I was a caregiver to my husband, Adam, who was living with glioblastoma, an aggressive form of brain cancer. We talked about a lot of things, but primarily the importance of building a community when you're a caregiver and what I've learned from the interviews I've done for resilient people. Lee and I both started our podcast for the same reason, to inspire others. He started the We Have Cancer podcast 5 years ago and has interviewed people from all walks of life with the aim to teach his listeners that cancer affects everyone. His goal is to bring hope to people living with it.
So why do a podcast when you have cancer?
Because when I first started it 5 years ago, I fell into it, actually, Janet. I had a number of friends that I met through various means, and there was a business networking group that I was a part of. One of my friends from the group reached out to me at the time. I was working at a career college, and they were looking for meeting space for their new podcast group. And I said, sure, we've got space in the evening. You want to use one of the classrooms? Sure. And I was like, well, it'd be kind of rude for me to just unlock the door and let my friends in and walk away and leave. I said, well, I might as well sit in and be a good host. And it was in that first meeting, and I'm hearing people talking about podcasting on all kinds of topics. And it just hit me as like, what if I interviewed people like me who, at the time, was only focused on colon cancer, who were going through colon cancer. And maybe, you know, just by hearing the human stories, people will get some inspiration and some hope. And that's why we launched it. It was originally called the Colon Cancer Podcast. And a few years ago, I was talking to some dear friends. He said to me, he said, so these people that you interview, are their stories specific to only having colon cancer? And I could have smacked my forehead. It was like, why didn't I think of that? I said, actually, they're not. You know, yeah, we talk about some symptoms and some treatments, but it's more about life and how you're managing it. And it really isn't specific to just colon cancer. And thus, the rebrand to We Have Cancer. Linda has always said, and has corrected me at times when I used to talk about me and I have, and she says, sweetheart, we. It's all we, right? The we also comes from the fact that it touches everybody. I had the privilege of speaking at a number of global podcast conferences. In my presentation, I did this, Jim. I said, if you've ever heard the words, you have cancer, please stand up. And a few people stood up. Then I said, if anybody you know or love has heard the words, you have cancer, would you stand up? More people stood up. And then I said, if you know anybody who's heard the words, you have cancer, please stand up. By the time I was done, the whole room was standing. And that was proof. We have cancer. We are all touched by this. And then a quote appeared in a newsletter, a colon cancer newsletter, one of our good friends, Riley. And her quote was, she said, I may have cancer, but it doesn't have me. It's my, you know, mission, and has been for these 5 years, to interview people, to provide information, inspiration, and hope.
And you've talked to dozens and dozens of different people. None of them are similar to each other. I mean, except for the fact that cancer is the theme. You know, you have athletes, you have researchers, you have caregivers. What are some of the biggest nuggets that you've taken away from your chats?
That every story is different, right? Yeah. And it's not necessarily because of a different type of cancer. My one regret is that I didn't do it this way sooner. I think probably the most impactful stories have come from people like you, Janet, the caregivers. Probably interviewed half dozen, maybe, to hear their stories of what they've gone through. I interviewed a young woman in Chicago. Her name was Candace Draw, who her mother, she was a single mom, and she was a caregiver, had aggressive breast cancer, and she was the oldest of the siblings. So not only did she suddenly become the caregiver to her mother, she also became mother to her siblings.
And had to do both.
My goodness, right? Yeah. So, you know, when I think about, and it's not that I was lacking in appreciation, but it even gives me more appreciation for what Linda's gone through being my caregiver.
Linda, what have you learned over the course of your, I hate the word journey because journey is to me something so positive, but you know, just life with cancer. What have you learned?
It's frightening. You know, my faith is so strong, and I will just have to say that it's what God has given me, and I'm going to work with it. Do I ever want to give Lee up? Absolutely not. Has it made me stronger? Yes, it has. Has it made our marriage stronger? Oh, yeah, because, you know, it was something that he and I had fought for a long time to be together. We had been given the second chance of having a perfect life. Things got in the way. I think I've dealt with it pretty darn good. I mean, our three boys are amazing and they give me strength. I wouldn't have it any other way. I truly would.
What's something that the both of you would like everybody to know?
Stay strong. Oh my gosh. And
love.
Yes.
There's a reason why Linda and I both have the Hebrew word tattooed on us. And when I stop and think about how have we gotten through all this, it's been love. Love for each other, the love from our family, of course. But worst thing anybody can do is to close up and close themselves off from other people. And unfortunately, I hear it happen even within relationships. Open yourself up. Let people offer their love and support. Don't hold grudges. You know, because some people can't deal with what you're going through doesn't mean they don't love you. They just don't know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they'll come back. But don't hold a grudge. It's not going to accomplish anything. Yeah. Welcome the love and support that you're given. Take time to be grateful. You can always find something to be grateful for. And find that and focus on that. Spend time on that.
I have so many takeaways from my conversation with Lee and Linda. The power of their positivity is the big one. I mean, who else can say that these years filled with hospital stays and cancer treatments have been the best years of their lives? Lee and Linda have the most fantastic, positive perspective, and one that everyone should aim to adopt. Because he's right when he says, there's no point worrying about things you can't change, so why ruin a good day? So they do things they love, like spending time together, watching movies and live concerts, gardening, faith, and connecting with inspiring people through his podcast. I'd like to thank Lee and Linda Silverstein for joining me, and I'd like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Resilient People. You can find the We Have Cancer podcast at wehavecancershow.com. Today's episode was produced by Edit Audio with thanks to Abby Gibson, Steph Coburn, and Sophie Shin. To learn more about me and other resilient people, visit resilientpeople.ca or Resilient People CA on Instagram and Facebook. Please subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. You can find Resilient People on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you or someone you know is considered resilient, I'd like to hear your story. Send me an email, info@resilientpeople.ca, or contact me through the Resilient People website. Maybe we can have you on as a guest on an upcoming episode. Till next time, I'm Janet Fanacki. Bye for now.
Divorce sucks, but it doesn't have to be all bad. Hi, I'm Leanne Townsend, a family law lawyer and partner at the law firm Brody Thorning LLP. I'm also the host of the Divorcing Well podcast. Divorcing Well aims to help provide listeners with the tools and knowledge they need to support themselves legally, financially, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I want listeners to tune into Divorcing Well because they are looking for the knowledge and inspiration to get them through the rough days. And on the positive days, they will gain the tools that they need to heal and move through the various stages of grief that divorce can bring. Each week, I interview an expert or a guest who's been out there in the trenches going through divorce themselves, sharing their stories, their knowledge, their inspiration with listeners, so that ultimately I can help them to divorce well. You can find my podcast on all podcast platforms or visit my website at www.leannetownsend.ca.